It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. It's Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. The Lakers coming off a very positive weekend, a great start to the season, two games with Michigan State, and a lot of fans saying, well, Michigan State's young and they're depleted in their lineup, etc., but 6-1 and 7-3 victories. Lakers looked awfully good, and Damon, the coaching staff's got to be pretty happy with the performance. Not only the performance, but the tremendous support. I mean, there were 3,500 people in here on Saturday night. I think that's the largest crowd we've had in 10, 15 years in this building, and it was very raucous. It was a tremendous atmosphere, and I think the players probably really appreciated that.
No, absolutely, and I think it's the perfect place to start. I mean, our guys immediately after that Friday game couldn't stop talking about the support of the fans, certainly the community side of it, but looking at that student section with the changes there for us to look across and see that, we were talking if we could get two sections, maybe three sections full, and we were five or six deep. So that's a tremendous start for the season and what we're trying to build here. So a huge kudos and thanks to all the fans that came out and made it such a great weekend. Obviously, there's a lot of things going on with Great Lakes State Weekend and Bruce Hofford in the Hall of Fame and a new championship wall. So it was just a very, very special weekend to celebrate 50 years of Laker hockey. There's a lot going into it. And you never know. Sometimes your team can get over the line with that and not react properly. But we certainly liked our response on the ice. Again, lots of energy. It makes it easy to get up for that game, and that can also take you over the edge. But you would think with only one senior, maybe it'd be a tough start. But I thought our group did a tremendous job of showing up, ready to play, executing a lot of things. Friday in particular, I think we had ourselves giving up four grade A scoring chances. So the offense was certainly there, but defensively we were just as strong, and that's huge. If we can continue to play like that and to have those special teams, we're going to have that chance to go on a real good run.
Yeah, and a lot of people, again, Michigan State's, maybe it's a down year for them. They got a lot of freshmen. They had five freshman D-men in the lineup on Saturday night. A freshman goalie started that game, but it's still Michigan State, and they do get top-end quality recruits. So even when they have young people, quite often those young people will be better than a lot of other teams' freshmen might be because of the fact they're Michigan State. I thought they played hard. I didn't think Ed Minnie was all that bad in goal, as people try to say, but I thought Lake Superior really played well. I thought your execution was outstanding, some tremendous passing. You had a couple, two, three guys score two goals on the weekend. I think Gus had two on Saturday night. Gus Coriale, your captain, and then JT Henke had a couple goals on the weekend. So did Gage Terrell. I thought some of your freshmen were just outstanding. We know that Gelsinger is a good player, but he was a little bit over and above for good, and so was Max Humitz on the weekend, and there's another guy who had two goals.
Yeah, a lot of positive performances, there's no question about it. And I agree, I thought Minnie played fine Friday. I don't think the game was on Minnie Friday. I thought we did a good job creating offense. And again, I thought it was a good 60 minutes when you only give up four chances against and would they have 11 power plays or something like that. So mm-hmm. Our penalty killers were tremendous, blocking shots, doing their assignments. We've obviously had a huge emphasis on coaching and repping special teams, both sides of it in practice. It's tough to schedule at times because if you look at a guy like Terrell and Holtz, their power play and penalty kill. So creating and finding the time to rep them on both sides of special teams can be very difficult. Same with Hedrick and Sockerman and Bendulis. So some guys play both sides of that, and it does affect your practice planning, but we knew it would have a huge impact on the game, so we wanted to put that time in. I do think that Saturday, the complexion of that game was probably altered by their goaltending, when Lefteman didn't get off to a very strong start there. I think it's probably a different game if we don't get that early lead. But it's good for us to go through that. And we did a good job. We came out, we talked about them having a freshman with his first ever start. Obviously, it was a great environment. He was right by that student section, and I think that certainly helped as well. But we wanted to make sure he didn't get anything easy early to get him into the game and into his career. So I give our guys credit for putting quality pucks to the net and then challenging him. And that, you know, but that early lead changes the game for sure. And then that was Michigan State's biggest push that second period, where I thought, you know, we made some poor decisions and let our foot off the pedal there a little bit. But I loved our response that we went out and got that Anthony Nellis, I think it was the fifth goal, to put that three-goal cushion back into it. That was a really important goal there to really kind of stymie any momentum they had gotten. So loved our response. And again, you talked about some of the individuals. You know, Josh Hanke had a tremendous weekend. I'm sure if you brought up Owen Hedrick, but what a huge weekend and start for Owen Hedrick. You know, Gelsinger, Humus pointed well and played well. So, you know, it's a very positive start. Obviously, confidence is up right now. But, you know, at the same time, we get into WCHA play this weekend with a team that went into Ferris State and swept Ferris State at Ferris State. We hadn't won there in 8 years up until last year. So, you know, it'll be much different games this weekend. It'll be very difficult. And, you know, we'll learn more about our team this weekend.
Yeah, speaking of Owen Hedrick, too, he's been named Defensive Co-Player of the Week in the WCHA for his performance. He had a goal and three or four assists on the weekend. Played really well. I thought he was very good getting the puck out of his own zone. A lot of our defensemen were very good at that. And he tied with Michael Bitzer, the second-year goaltender from Bemidji State, for co-defensive player of the week. That's a pretty good honor. It's the first time Owen's had that honor since he's been here.
Yeah, no, I mean, great. And he had 6 points, three points each night. You know, was a key part of that, one of the power play units. He's shooting the puck extremely well. Last year, we had Owen kind of running the top of that power play. And this year, with Bindulis in, Chris is kind of running the top of it. And it allows Owen to be more of a shooter at times. And he's really responded tremendously to that, as we saw this weekend. So a very good start for Owen. You mentioned our breakouts and our D core. We did some good things for sure. And actually, I didn't think our D were the issue. At times, we've got to do a little bit better job exiting our zone, and that's more of our forwards getting back into support positions quicker. So, you know, it was okay at times, but we also want to clean that up. And again, that's an area we rep pretty heavily. And the way Huntsville forechecks, we're going to have to be really good this weekend because they're going to come after us for 60 minutes. So, you know, we spent a lot of time this weekend practice working on our zone exits.
Yeah, that's the big thing now. You learn some things watching the series with Michigan State and was mostly positive there. There are a few things that come out on the negative side. Those are the things you work on. Let's talk a little bit about Huntsville. They're kind of a strange team. They go in and beat Ferris State twice at Ferris State, which is, as we know, no easy task. It doesn't matter what year it is. Ferris is still a pretty good hockey team coming off the championship in the league last year. And then they go to UConn and they get beat handily twice. I was trying to figure that one out. And then they go up to Michigan Tech and lose. So you wonder what's going on there. But one thing about them, Mike Corbett's in about his sixth year there, they work awfully hard. It doesn't matter whether they have that high-end talent, and they do have high-end talent in goal. They work hard.
Well, then they tied Saturday at Michigan Tech. They ended up falling in the 3-3 second overtime shootout. So, you know, to go into Michigan Tech and tie, and we've watched that whole series, and they were really good hockey games. You know, they're playing with pace. Their skating and pace is improved. As you mentioned, they're phenomenal in net, so they always have a chance because of their goaltending. And they come at you. They're a relentless team. They're very difficult to play against. They take away time and space. You know, yeah, you're right. They probably don't have the talent of maybe a Mankato or a Michigan Tech, but they're probably more difficult to play against in a lot of ways because of their the pace they're playing with, how confrontational they are. They don't give you any space out there. So it's going to be a huge challenge. And certainly getting to their net, getting bodies to their net. You know, if LaRosa's in, he's a monster of a goaltender. There's nothing to shoot at. So you have to create second chance opportunities, which means you have to get there and pay through or fight through some, you know, some battles and some heavy play against their team.
Well, it's going to be an interesting weekend anytime you go to Huntsville. Just the trip itself can be tough. You're trying to break it up as best you can. You're going to leave on Wednesday evening, or did leave on Wednesday evening. You're going to go down and play in Nashville, or at least get in a practice, which is a good thing for the guys, too. They get to go into a pro rink, and hey, as pro rinks go, that one's pretty impressive. Then you go on down to Nashville and settle in there and get ready to play on Friday night.
Yeah, no, I think anytime we get a chance to get around a pro atmosphere and a pro environment, it's very healthy for our players. So, a chance to see the Predators practice. And, you know, really one of my biggest things, I want them to hear the Predators practice, how those pro guys have constant communication all over the ice. Their hockey IQ is so great. They're always talking, making the game easy for each other. So I think that'll be a good environment for our players to observe that. And as you mentioned, it breaks up the trip a little bit. So, yeah, we'll do that and, you know, enjoy that part of things. And then it's on to business down there. So, you know, we're looking forward to a good trip and a big trip. I think this early in the year, a chance to bond and get away is a healthy thing for this team as well. So it's always good to kind of, you know, get out of town for a little bit, learn your teammates a little bit more. And then obviously a huge challenge on the road as we get into WCHA play.
Yeah, it's always difficult too this early in the season. You had great success this past weekend with two lopsided wins over Michigan State. Now you got to decide on what 22 players get to make this trip. You can only take 22, only 20 can dress. How do you guys, you sit down and discuss all this sort of thing? Because you don't want to be unfair to people, but hey, who didn't play well last weekend?
Well, we had the discussion Saturday morning too, and you know, I actually wanted to make a change or two into our lineup. You know, a chance to play some guys and, you know, home ice, non-conference. And so my thought was we would make some changes. And then, as you mentioned, we talked as a staff and, you know, Rich and Doug felt pretty strongly that, you know, you have a convincing win. I don't think anybody, you could leave that game and say played off or played poorly. So we decided to stay with it from their input and, you know, good or bad, there's some positives to that. There's some things that, you know, you want to get by making a lineup change. And so here we are again, you know, that same discussion took place as we, you know, ventured out here. And it makes it tough. You know, we're healthy. We're fully healthy now. And so it makes for some tough decisions. And that's a good thing for our program and where we're at. You know, it'll be nice to get Jake Hand back in there. He's a guy that, you know, was an impact player for us. And, you know, he makes us a better hockey team. And, you know, some guys now will have to battle harder for their opportunities and their roles. But again, that elevates us every day in practice. It's been very competitive. Guys are fighting for position and battling. Again, with only carrying 26 guys, it's been nice, too. We can go fairly brief. We're usually not out there for much more than an hour, 15, hour, 20 minutes, which is not overly long this time of year. But again, because of our numbers, we have high tempo, high pace, and we can get our things accomplished and get out of there.
Yeah, you do have lower numbers overall this year, and so there are fewer guys who maybe aren't playing. But, you know, you look at the guys who did not dress last weekend. You got an assistant captain there in Ryan Renz. You got James Roll, who's played a lot of hockey for this team. They're both very capable. No one's saying they can't play, that's for sure. And then you got Brian Basilico. You'd like to try to see what he can do. And now Jake Hand's probably going to come back into the lineup, which means maybe an Ian Johnson or somebody might be an extra guy, and he's a freshman. But this is a good thing, really, because it shows the depth of this team at this point, and they're all pretty good.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, to get Renzi Roll back in there. I mean, they're going to play at some point, and whether that's through them just continuing to earn their opportunity or somebody falling off or injury, but we know they can play, and we feel really good about that. We have 8 defensemen who can play at this level, and then that's a healthy spot to be. And, you know, you mentioned up front, I thought Ian played well, and I was hoping to get Brian Basilico or maybe Brendan McKay in as well. Again, I wish we had 6-7 exhibition games to get everybody a longer look and a more true look, but that's just not the way we're set up in college hockey. And now it gets very difficult because every point is so critical, so important. Once we're into WCHA play. But, yeah, we'll see, you know. And obviously, we like the numbers right now. If we hit a rash of injuries, we're going to be kicking ourselves. But right now, we're in a very healthy position and in a very competitive position for ice time and roles. And our guys have done a good job embracing that and working through it so far early this season.
Yeah, we are just getting started here. There's a lot of hockey to be played. We're just going into our second weekend of regular season activity. It is going to be the WCHA opener. It'll be at Huntsville. It'll be this weekend. We'll have both games for you on Friday and Saturday nights. So tune us in on Yes FM, one of our sister stations here at Sovereign Communications. We're going to take a break here in the show this morning. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
At H&R Block, we want you to focus on your business while we handle your books. From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax preparation and advice, we're ready to put our expertise to work on your small business. For the year-round services you need and the one-on-one attention you deserve, partner with H&R Block Business Services. Stop by our office at 3303 I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, or give us a call at 906-635-5970 to learn more. At participating offices, services do not include audit, attest, or other services for which a license is required. And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Well, welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Witten. Coming off a really good weekend, a great start against Michigan State. Lots of excitement in the building in both games, Damon, and lots of excitement on the weekend. It was Great Lakes State weekend. You talked a little bit about Bruce Hoffert going into the Hall of Fame on Saturday afternoon. I thought the whole weekend went pretty well. There might have been a glitch here or there, like there always is when you have a major thing going on. But, hey, we had the Hall of Fame induction Saturday. We had the alumni dinner on Friday night. That went really well. They all got introduced during the hockey game on Friday. Same thing with the Hall of Famers on Saturday night. Then we had the 50th reunion gathering. We had about maybe 50 players back, most of them from the older days because they're in a position to come back. They're all retired for the most part now. But we did have a good turnout for that on Saturday night after the game. I thought all in all it was a pretty darn good weekend.
Well, I thought it was fantastic, you know, to have that group back, as you mentioned, was very special. I thought the puck drop Saturday with Julio and Archie and Randy and Barmuyo was tremendous to have that group representing Laker hockey in its beginning. So that was a very enjoyable moment. Going over to Bruce Hoffert's induction, I thought Bruce did a tremendous job, and listened to his father talk about Bruce's upcoming was very touching and special. Jeff Jackson had a video to introduce Bruce as well, and I thought that was a great highlight and touch as well. So anytime you get a chance to celebrate guys like Bruce Hoffert and certainly 50 years of hockey at a school like this, you know, with the history and tradition of Lake State, it's just awesome to be part of that. And fortunately the results on the ice kind of matched some of that energy and momentum, and because of that I got a long time to spend with a lot of the guys Saturday night, both at the reception and then afterwards that. So it was really good to hear their stories and how much they love this program and how they want to support it and be part of it. And so it was nice, it was great to have, and it's something we're trying to build again as we're trying to build a program here to have all of our alumni from every generation and every period back involved. And we're trying to do more and more in the summers to golf out and getting guys involved. So we'll continue to work on that. But it was really, I thought it went great. As you mentioned, maybe there's one or two glitch here along the way, but a lot of people were involved, went into it. Barnes and Noble donated a beer stein, so they all got a gift with the 50th logo anniversary on it. So just a lot of things, and it was a very special weekend for Laker hockey.
Yeah, and I thought it was good to have the current players, after they won on Saturday night, come to that event afterwards in the gym. They all sat up there together as a team, but it gave them a chance to see, hey, here's some guys who are in their 60s right now who are coming back here, who played here back in the 1960s and early 1970s, who still have that affinity for the program. I think it's good for the young guys to see that because they really have no concept of what it was before.
Yeah, and they when you're 19, 20, you're not thinking about that, you don't understand it and appreciate it. But it really was to, and I know they had some time to talk with some of those guys, and some of the alum did a tremendous job of letting them know what it meant to be a Laker and how much they thought of this program. So I think our guys did enjoy it, just hearing some of the stories. I'm sure it probably doesn't change a whole heck of a lot. Those guys 30, 40, 50 years ago, we're doing the same thing some of our guys do, whether it's classes on a Monday, or a Saturday night spot they like to go to. So I think they really enjoyed hearing the stories that have gone on for so many years and, seeing some of the changes. But, things change, but not all that much. Hockey players are hockey players, and they do their things and enjoy it. And there's just such a bond in this game and in this program that it was really nice to be part of that.
Yeah, that leads us, it's a good segue to talk about another aspect of this past weekend. I think a lot of fans got frustrated by the officiating. There's not a whole lot we can say about that. We're not picking on any officials. I thought they did a good job of enforcing the rules the way they are now, but I thought it was interesting on Friday night in particular, a lot of these old-timers, shall we say, from the 60s and 70s, were telling me after the game, hey, I couldn't have played in that game tonight. That was impossible, the stuff. There's a lot of emphasis now on interference that didn't used to be interference. There's a lot of emphasis on sticks in hands, etc. That was all part of the game in the 60s and 70s, and I thought it was real interesting that the guys from that era said, hey, that was just really, I couldn't have played in that game tonight, and yet our guys are expected to adapt to that, and they are adapting to it.
Well, I'll tell you, it'd still take some of those guys and then make them adapt. And, you get some of those guys out there that were such tremendous players that they would adapt, and, it's just called differently. And, I think for our fans, there's no new rules. But what they're trying to get back to across the NCAA, and it's mirroring the NHL, is a standard of play where you can't impede players away from the puck, and you can't impede the player with the puck on his stick. So anytime there's a wrap up or a hold or a hook into the midsection or hands or a slash on the hands, it's supposed to be called by this new set of standard of rules. So I thought the guys did a pretty good job reffing the game in terms of, you know, we knew what would be calling. I thought it was strange that the first night there was, 35, and the next night, you know, I think we had two power plays. So I thought that was bad. I thought they reffed the score a little bit on Saturday night, and that's certainly a tendency that, you know, you see nationally and in this game. But, I thought it was okay. There's certainly a couple smaller ones that I thought could have been letting go, and a couple where it's more a scoring chance where they slash hands or get a hook on the hands. To me, that's what that was my big point when the league went through this and the NCAA went through this. It's around the net where you can't obstruct a guy, hook the hands, slash the hands. That's where you're taking away a scoring chance. And to me, that's where I don't want to impede the puck here. Let's let the skill guys be skill guys, defend smartly. Or if you want to do it that way, that's fine, but you have to call it. So I thought overall it was okay. I thought we adjusted decently. I don't like looking here. I think we're the most penalized team in the country right now when we dominated two games and we were in the box. I didn't like that. That didn't sit well with me. But we have to learn and we have to be better. We want to be a much more disciplined team this year, and I think we'll get there. And for whatever reason this weekend, it was Friday in particular, was not much flow that way. But fortunately, our special teams were ready to respond.
Yeah, that's the next topic here this morning. The special teams were outstanding. You went 6-for-16 on the power play. I know Rich Mitro works basically with power play and Doug Holliva with penalty kill. Penalty kill was really good. You held them to, they were 1-for-11 on Friday night. That's where you really won the hockey game right there, was killing penalties, doing a great job. I thought everybody who took part out there was right on his game. And I mean, when you consider it was the first real game of the season, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, really good. You know, and I know after Laurentian, I think we gave up two penalty kill goals, maybe all three. And, I kind of said after that I wasn't worried about our penalty kill. Last year, we were, I think, in the top 20 nationally when it was all said and done, and I think up to top 10 up into the last week or two. So I knew it would be good. We returned the majority of our penalty killers. You know, again, Terrell Holtz are some of our key guys, our first guys over, along with Cuglietta and Corey Alley. So all four of those guys killed all last year, or maybe after the first month once we kind of identified who our top killers were. And then you had guys in. Josh Nenendahl repped out and got better as the year went along last year. He's now a top guy this year. CJ Hayes is taking a big step this year. Max Humitz kills, Morgan kills. But those top six guys, did a tremendous job in their prep for it. On the back end, I thought our D did a tremendous job. They understand their assignments very well, and Coach Holloway does a tremendous job teaching those guys. But they're willing to sacrifice block shots. You know, Chatham had one or two just tremendous plays to save almost sure goals. And again, going back to Friday, we had two full minutes of 5-on-3, then another 5-on-3 of like a minute 30 or 40, and those aren't easy to kill, you know, and even so, we gave up four grade A chances with all those minutes. So a tremendous job to that penalty killing unit from the coaching side of it to the players' execution. They did a great job. And then, as you mentioned, turning around to power play, Rich did a phenomenal job having those guys prepared. I hope we can sustain that pace and continue to be so dangerous on the power play. I think penalty kill, we expect that day in, day out. Power play is a little bit tougher. The offensive side, you can't always, you're not always there. There's days you're going to fight the puck or struggle. I think we'll certainly see more teams down the road that pressure differently and pressure harder, and that makes it more difficult at times. It was a great start. Our guys are confident. You know, we have Jake Hand coming back in, that he's certainly a power play guy, and he'll fight to find a spot. It's going to be hard to maybe plug him back in right now. Ian Johnson's another guy that's a very good power play guy that hasn't really had much chance yet, but in time he will be a power play guy. And I think, again, Brian Basilico, he's a net front power play guy that can find some opportunity down the road, whether it's this year down the road. And then Jimmy Roll, was good on the power play for us last year as well. So we have guys that haven't had a ton of chance to do it yet, that if somebody does falter or falls off a little bit, we have guys willing to step in there. But special teams had a huge impact, obviously, this weekend. I hope on our side, our penalty kill doesn't have to be tested as much and we can get away with some of those penalties. But we were glad we were ready to respond on that opening weekend.
Well, officiating will play a major role, no doubt, this weekend at Huntsville. You're going up against a team, I think we talked last week, at least we're playing Michigan State dead even. You'd each had one exhibition game, and you're going against each other for really your second game. Not the case this weekend. Huntsville, it'll be their home opener. They've played three straight road series, six straight road games. A little bit more experience at this point, but the Lakers will give them all they want. It should be very interesting on Friday night, home opener for Huntsville.
Yeah, no, they'll be ready to get home. I'm sure they've had some heavy travel already early on. It's a huge advantage that they're six games into it. You know, it takes a lot to get your game conditioning up and going, your timing, your structure in place. You know, there are things we try to replicate in practice, but it's never the same as a game. So, you know, early on, we have to be ready to kind of weather their storm a little bit. Read of the series, because they are so much further along in terms of, you know, they've got four WCHA games under their belt, and you know, we all know how hardly fought those are. So we've got to be ready to start and ready to weather their storm a little bit, get our game feet under us a little bit more. But it's going to be a big series for us to get off to a good start in WCHA play. You know, we should all remember what they came in and did to us here last year early in the season, and now we need to go down there and repay that series. And I think we have the team to do that, but it's going to be up to the guys to get out there and ready to perform Friday night.
All righty. Well, we're out of time here this morning. Laker Hockey Talk comes to an end all too quickly. Don't forget the Laker Hockey Show every Tuesday night live from the Antlers right here on ESPN 1400. And we'll have both games for you, Laker games this weekend from Huntsville, Alabama on Friday and Saturday nights. Damon, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hope you tune in. And after this weekend, we're really looking forward to get back for Pink in the Rink and see that crowd again.
Yeah, well, that's coming up against Alaska just a week down the road. Make your plans for that as well. That'll be a big weekend in the Sioux. And that's it for Laker Hockey Talk this week. Talk to you again next week. Bill Crawford for Damon Witten. So long on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block. Join us next week for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk. Right here on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.